Tim Stout from Stout on Sports, which is heard weekday mornings at 10 a.m. on the game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. They also carry the Huge Show tape delayed every weeknight at 6 on the game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. Timmy is standing by on the Meyer guest sign. So, Tim, how did Walker get left out of the Heisman invite?
Because he did not finish in the top four in the voting. When the voting finished at 5 o'clock yesterday, Bill, the totals were added up, as it is every year. It hasn't changed. It is not a political invite. And he was not in the top four. And it was determined in advance that whoever the top four numerical finishers are, those four go to New York. And then when the show is on from 8 to 9 o'clock, there's suspense as to which one of the four is going to win. So all of this is predetermined. The winner's been predetermined statistically, numerically. No one says, well, that's three from the Big Ten or two, whatever the top four are. So Walker will not finish in the top four. He may finish 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is on down. And that's how it's determined. And furthermore, I was not surprised. I knew after the, I told you this before, I knew after, it's not what I think who should or should not be in. I know how the Heisman setup works. And when you have 928 voters, most of those voters are nowhere near the state of Michigan. And in my opinion, if you don't play in the Big Ten, in a conference championship game on the last weekend, when most voters are encouraged to wait till everything's done before getting those votes in, you're simply not seeing anybody like Walker or, Matt Corral of Mississippi. You're not going to see those guys on the final weekend. So the last thing you saw was the performance by the Alabama quarterback in the Auburn game at the end, prime time, in the Georgia game, SEC title game, prime time. Those are lasting impressions. It's that way every single year, in my opinion. And I claim that had Ohio State beaten Michigan and then Ohio State beaten Iowa in the Big Ten title game, Stroud would have replaced Hutchinson. But Michigan beat Ohio State, highest-ranked TV game in Fox history. They're all talking about Hutchinson on the air all day. Michigan annihilates Iowa. They don't score a touchdown. Big Ten title game, prime time. So those who haven't voted, who kind of want to, say, let me spread this out a little bit, Hutchinson gets some more second and third place votes. I wasn't sure he was going to be in the top four. I was almost certain that Walker would not make it.
How'd Pickett get in the top four? Again, Pitt, who'd they beat this year? I guess Clemson would be their biggest win in beating Wake Forest in the ACC title game. I don't understand Pickett over Walker. I really don't.
Well, because Pickett played in the – don't get me wrong. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying any of these guys should or should not be in based off my opinion. But Pickett doesn't surprise me because he played in a conference championship game. It was a rout. He already was high to begin with. He's a quarterback. His team won the ACC title. They scored 45 points against Wake Forest on Saturday. So people are seeing him play, and he's a quarterback. And I'm not sure, Bill, how many of these guys who get in the top four get all the first-place votes. The question is, across America, how many second- and third-place votes can you get? And I think that, when the final totals come out, I'll bet Hutchinson's fourth and Pickett's third and Stroud is second, and then Bryce Young of Alabama will win. I'm just guessing that. I know those are the top four because the ones that are chosen are simply numerically how those top four are going to finish, and that's how they do it. So if the telecast is at 8 o'clock, they'll just slurp all over those four for 50 minutes, and then the guys finally picked at 8:50. All the commercials are played and all that. But, the Heisman has not changed the way it does what it does very often. I don't think it's a good way to do it because most of the media people who, in my opinion, who vote in this thing vote regionally because they vote for everybody in their backyard one way or the other because they don't want to. I knew this for the 10 years I did. And it goes out, and if you don't vote for the local guy, you're a bad person. You didn't vote for the local guy, blah, blah, blah. And it goes with every state. But the same people complaining at Michigan State are complaining today at Ole Miss for Matt Corral. They're complaining at Oklahoma State. How the thing works with, especially in college sports, on these types of awards, somebody's going to complain. Toward your point on the coach of the year, if it's Harbaugh over Tucker or Tucker over Harbaugh, the other side's going to say that's ridiculous. Our guy should have got it. and I've heard you discuss this before about the Big Ten coach of the year. Who are you rooting for? You're going to be, if your guy doesn't get it, the team you root for, you're mad. And if it goes the other way, I mean, we were on the air this morning and I'm taking one. And I said to my staff yesterday here at TV, I said, brace yourself tonight because Walker's not going to get in there. And you know what the feedback is going to be because it's going to be negative because most people, Bill, this is not based on who you think the guy ought to be. It's based on how those votes come in from 928 voters, right, wrong, or indifferent. And that's how this thing is done.
And speaking of votes, Tucker lands the AP Big Ten Football Coach of the Year, and I get he beat Michigan. I understand they were projected to be a 4-5 win team. Michigan had more issues and more drama out of season than Michigan State had going in. The Wolverines become the first unranked team to ever make it to the college football playoff. They beat Ohio State. They win the Big Ten East. They beat a ranked Iowa team to win the Big Ten title. They crushed them. How is Harbaugh not Big Ten Coach of the Year?
Well, I've heard you discuss this on the air diplomatically, and I said Bill's being fair, Bill's being diplomatic, and Bill's going to get ripped by either one of the other two fan bases, whoever he doesn't side with. Look, the obvious answer to me is you can make a case for either one of them. You certainly can make a case for Harbaugh. I mean, they were 2-4. They weren't picked anywhere, all right? So for all the just accolades you just said, well, Michigan State was 2-5, picked last in the Big Ten East, beats the Big Ten champion, goes 10-2. I mean, you know, you can line all this stuff up. Now, at the end of the year, I think between the two of them nationally, if Michigan gets at least to the championship game, let alone wins the thing, I mean, I don't know how you can't give it to him. And I was talking to the guys today about this, Bill. And there's a million Coach of the Year awards. All I've heard all year is that this isn't Nick Saban's best team. The defense is no good. They lost A&M early. They barely beat Arkansas at home. A bad Auburn team pushed them to 4 overtimes, all in all. Well, now Alabama is the number one seed, and if Alabama wins it, with all the criticism that Alabama's team has taken, why isn't Nick Saban, for that matter, considered as a Coach of the Year candidate? And the obvious answer every year is, well, he always has the best players, and he always has the best assistant, so he can't be the Coach of the Year because they always have the best guys. But who put the whole thing together? And I'm not saying he ought to be. I'm just saying you can make a lot of cases depending on who you are. You know, I always say, Bill, when you want an opinion on sports, never ask a homer or a hater because those people all have a preconceived notion and they're not unbiased. In the Heisman thing, I'd like to see how the voting would go if you took two NFL scouts from each of the 32 teams, let 64 scouts vote 1-3 because they have no rooting interest. Their livelihood is simply to identify the best college players without a rooting interest. So the media's got a rooting interest. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They have a rooting interest for the region in which they're from. And there are not that many Heisman voters from the state of Michigan. And the ones that I do know, I already know who, you know, they don't want to get caught not picking either Hutchinson or not picking Kenneth Walker. But nationwide, that's where the fallout comes on the thing. You know, Bryce Young's going to, at the end of the day, though, Bill, at the end of the day, Saturday night, can you honestly say the best college player season, that guy didn't win the award, Bryce Young at Alabama, considering where everything lays?
No, Bryce Young won it with what he did to Georgia. It's over, and that's why Walker deserved to go. He got, you know, not stiffed, but just didn't make the top five in voting, and we move on. Speaking of Walker, it looks like he's going to play in that Peach Bowl on December 30th in Atlanta against Narduzzi and Pitt. First time I saw that matchup on Sunday, Tim, and I want your huge opinion on this. I just don't know if the Michigan State fan is going to drive down to Atlanta, fly down to Atlanta, come up from their vacation in Florida to watch that game. Pitt doesn't, I know Narduzzi, they loved them. There's no hatred between the two or previous history. And the Pitt fan, it's a Steeler town. Are they, during a holiday weekend, going to go to Atlanta? I'm really concerned with no Southern team, which normally there is at least one in that Peach Bowl, that this might not be a good visual in terms of fan attendance.
I've been to all these bowls for years, Bill. My Cadillac advice, especially for this bowl, do not buy tickets until you get to the stadium that day if you want to go. for, believe me, the prices are coming down to nothing almost for good seats as well. There'll be thousands of empty seats. Pittsburgh can't hardly draw 25,000 people for home games, and they won the ACC. You're right about the Michigan State fans. I think there's some deflation there. You know, this is a COVID era. This is a very expensive time to fly era as well during the holidays. And my opinion on these bowls, I don't understand the delineation of a New Year's Six bowl when the Peach Bowl is played December 30th, and it's not in a really good vacation area. I mean, Atlanta in December, give me a break. And you're not playing. It's one thing if you're playing for the semifinal or the final, because that just speaks for itself. But if there's a vacation tag along with it, I mean, I'm with you. I'll bet you there are 40,000 people. I'd be shocked if there's 40,000 people. Now, if they'd have gone to the Fiesta Bowl and played Notre Dame, or even played Notre Dame in Atlanta with a new coach off an 11-1 team, when you have two teams that were former traditional rivals in Michigan State, Notre Dame, they were praying they were going to get Notre Dame. They were praying they were going to get them in the Fiesta Bowl. And how that got assigned by the committee, you know, that I don't know. We have tour people here, Michigan State tour people. And before these bowls were announced, they were praying that if they did not get the Fiesta Bowl, they'd get Orlando, because they can't sell Atlanta and Pitt like they could go sell Orlando New Year's Day, all the Florida amenities, all that weather with an SEC team. I claim the teams, and I can't understand how Penn State at 7-5 got Tampa, but Penn State did. And you see how the balls just go. If they can possibly do it, they want brand name, which is Penn State at 7-5. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. To me, Michigan State, who recruits Florida, they do recruit Georgia. Yes, they do. But they recruit Florida heavily. You would have had a far bigger demand for Michigan State participation from its fan base in Florida, Orlando, or Tampa than what you're going to get in Atlanta. And if, for that matter, Bill, whoever wins the Peach Bowl, to my way of thinking, nationally, big deal. I don't think it would be a big deal. If Michigan State would have played Notre Dame and beat Notre Dame somewhere, I think that would have had a lot more national impact. But you know what? They can't do anything about it now. And you know what? Keep this in the back of your mind. I claim that these agents, between now and these games, of these star players, are going to be on their case to pull these players out of some of these games. The Oregon defensive end, who could be the number one pick in the NFL draft, he already announced today he's not playing.
Yeah, Thibodeau.
And my sense, yeah, he's out, okay? I can't believe that Walker is not getting pressured to pull out of this game. I don't know if he will. There hasn't been any comment from him on any of this one way or the other. There's no practice right now. These guys, this is the last week of school, and then these guys get out. I can only imagine the pressure that he must be hearing relative to this issue one way or the other. I mean, you know, it's kind of intriguing moving forward how all of this, you know, is going to play out with these guys. And if those guys pull out of these games, does the fan base getting what it really paid for if the top players don't play in the games? You know, in the Final Four, all the stars are going to play. You know, and what about Ohio State at the Rose Bowl? Are all those guys going to play? Just because we haven't heard yet. Today's only December 7th, okay? So we still got a few weeks left before that. And the way these agents work with this NFL stuff coming up, I'm just holding my breath to see who are the next guys out. Because as you know, in a typical year, you get 20, 30 players on all these teams and all these 43 bowl games, and a lot of these guys pull out because of all of the risk that you have relative to the NFL draft. I think that's the next chapter here. And you saw this morning, Bill, that Pittsburgh's offensive coordinator, he resigned abruptly because he's got a family issue or whatever it is. So Pittsburgh at the moment has no offensive coordinator for its game plan against Michigan State. And trying to figure out who's going to win these bowl games when you've got three more weeks of all this movement or not, I think it's really tough to tell. I do think the Michigan State Pitt game is going to be a close game, though.
By the way, on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, big board, Michigan State is getting 3 points from Pitt. And the upside away from what I predict, and I agree with you, will be a small crowd, not a sexy matchup, is that State has a chance to win this. And finishing 11-2, by the time you get to May, June, July, and you're looking ahead to 2022, Mel Tucker and his staff are selling that they went 11-2 and they have a great chance to win. His name is Tim Stout. Stout on Sports weekday mornings at 10 a.m. on the game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. You can hear the Huge Show weeknights at 6 p.m. on 7:30 a.m. in the capital city. My friend, thank you for your time. We'll talk soon.
Good, Billy. Anytime. Love the show. Keep up the great work.